be afraid. Be very afraid. I hunt for ghosts on a retired Navy ship that's said to be haunted by the spirits of its old crew.
Vanessa enters a terrifying theme park.
Look out!
And finds out what it takes to scare. And be scared.
I was meant for this business.
There you go. I extract poisonous venom from one of the scariest bugs in the world, the tarantula.
Relax, Tyler, but don't move.
Welcome, please!
And Charlie shows you how to scare your friends and family this Halloween. Using stuff you have lying around the house.
Looks more like a glitch.
It's Popular Mechanics for Kids!
Fright!
And welcome to a real-life haunted house. Looks like Tyler's running a little late. Hi, Tyler.
Hi.
Fright is something we all have in common. Everyone is prone to getting shocked or startled. But there's nothing to be ashamed of. Being frightened is a natural, biological response to danger. It happens to everybody. There's no one on the planet who's immune to being scared. It doesn't mean you're a chicken. It's just a matter of controlling your emotions. That's gonna stay with me. Well, here's another scary story.
I'm in Terrell, Texas, where it's usually not this creepy. This is Thrillvania, a theme park. But it's no ordinary theme park. It's meant to scare people. We're looking for a guy by the name of Lance. He's the Scare Master, and he built this place to do exactly that, scare people.
Hi, Vanessa. Sorry. Every attraction here at Thrillvania uses one of four rules to frighten people. Come on in, and I'll show you.
Great.
Believe it or not, Vanessa, they say that this house is haunted with real ghosts.
Really?
For real.
Whoa. This room is kind of eerie. Creepy.
You feel like something is about to jump out at you,
but you're not sure exactly what. Pretty good.
That's the first rule of scaring people, is to create an environment and atmosphere that makes them feel uneasy or on edge. Like the claustrophobia of these bars around you, or the dim lighting, the strobe lights in your eyes. And of course, we add sound effects too, like screams all the way down to animal roars.
It all sets the mood. It makes you feel uneasy, and it creates a suspense. So when they do go in for the scare, it has a much bigger effect on you. That is so gross!
Snake skin? Oh, gruesome.
Look out!
That really scared me. And that's the second rule in scaring. Surprise.
That's your basic jump out and yell boo scare technique.
Those pop-outs come so close, they invade your personal space. It's like too close for comfort.
That combined with the sudden shock of the unexpected is what can terrorize a person.
This is the sawmill. Normally, you'd see trees and cut-up pieces of wood here, but body parts? It's disgusting.
That's what we call horror scare. Rule number three, we expose people to things they want nothing to do with.
That would put them on edge. It's just the kind of thing you don't want to touch because it's just too gross.
That's what we call terror scare.
That scared me.
It makes you feel like you're in danger of losing your life. Good dog. Now that you know how to scare people, we're going to dress you up, see how good you are at terror scare.
That means I'll see if I can frighten some of the visitors here today. I'll get you later.
Your classic monster outfit and heavy-duty monster mask.
I'm ready to breed fear and terror.
So did I scare you guys?
Yes.
I was meant for this business.
Does one small spider scare you?
Is that an earthquake?
How about a lot of big ones? They're creepy, they're crawly, and they're totally poisonous. That's later on PMK.
What happens to you when you're scared? When you're scared, all sorts of things happen to your body. Why? It's because of your autonomic nervous system, or ANS. It's the part of your body that's in charge of a bunch of automatic stuff, like making you breathe, pumping your blood, and digesting your food. When you get scared, your ANS takes over your body. It makes your pupils widen and your nostrils flare. This is so you can see and sense what you're scared of better. It sucks blood away from your skin and makes your heart pump faster. This gets more blood and oxygen to your brain so you can think faster. You start to sweat to keep your nervous body from overheating. Also, stuff called adrenaline gets pumped into your body. Adrenaline gives your muscles a burst of energy for a speedy retreat. And it also protects you from feeling pain. For a while, your hair stands up. This is a response left over from back when human bodies were much hairier. This caused us to look bigger, to help frighten off predators. And sometimes if you get really frightened, you might lose control of your bladder. It's a natural way of protecting the human body from being eaten.
In the early days of movies, they tried really hard to scare us. Did they? You be the judge. Looks like the caveman's having a bad hair day. And she could use a little skincare lotion.
Stay away!
He needs better effects makeup. Don't bug the man in the moon. He might eat you. And remember, they're still out there.
That should do it. Huh? Oh, for crying out loud, Tyler. This is even worse than your fairy godmother costume.
I mean, whoever decided that putting a sheet on makes you look like a ghost anyway?
You might as well take 4 pillowcases and put them on your hands and feet and call yourself an elephant.
You're not so mad at me for barging in on you, are you? Well, look, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were in there. Tyler, are you okay? Tyler, what's the matter?
All right, what's all the commotion about?
Oh, that's just great.
I bust my butt to get ready quickly. She's taking a nap.
This is the USS Hornet, a gigantic aircraft carrier anchored in Alameda, California. During its combat years, this ship was considered lucky because enemy fire never hit it.
USS Hornet is now retired and it's been made into a public museum. It may not go out to battle anymore, but this ship still sees a lot of action. Very unusual action.
People working on the ship have seen strange things. Could it be the ghosts of the ship's old crew?
Here. So I was coming down to flight suit mess for lunch. I waved at the man, and it was very faint. It was dark here, and I paused and thought about it. When I looked back, he wasn't there.
We saw a figure in a Navy uniform run into the Christmas tree. We all turned around to talk to each other and to agree that we all saw the same thing. We did investigate, and there was nothing there.
They wanted answers. That's why they got in touch with Lloyd Auerbach.
Lloyd is a parapsychologist. That's someone who studies unexplained phenomena. He has been investigating ghost sightings for the last 16 years. And
I'm gonna help him investigate this ship.
That's great, Tyler, because we could certainly use all the help we can get. Now, one of the first things we do when we investigate paranormal phenomena is try to eliminate all the normal possibilities. For example, if the sun is reflecting off something causing odd lights to occur, or if the wind is knocking things around creating some really strange sounds.
On this ship, Lloyd has already ruled out all logical explanations for what these people say they saw.
We're dealing with something that's definitely outside what people would say would be rationally explained.
We'll be using some special equipment to try and see the ghosts. The thermal vision camera is an important tool for a ghost hunter. It can see things that our eyes can't, like infrared light. Infrared light is generated by the heat of an object. Different colors mean different temperatures. Something really cold, like this ice cube, looks black because there's not much heat in an ice cube. The hottest spots on my face look red because it's generating lots of heat.
People who report seeing ghosts often say they have felt unexplained warm or cold spots in the room.
The equipment can tell if there's something unusual where Daphne, Keith, and Bob saw the different people appear.
Another important tool is a tri-field meter, which measures magnetic. We found in haunting and ghost cases that there are often high magnetic readings in the places that people say that they see the ghost or experience the haunting.
Hey, it's like the tricorder they use on Star Trek to see if there's any energy or life form somewhere.
We're ready to begin our ghost hunt on the USS Hornet.
I'm gonna take 3 deep breaths and then we'll begin.
Lloyd starts by consulting a psychic.
We can see if she's picking up something that the meters are picking up and the other people as well.
The psychic tells us she feels the presence of spirits.
I think we're ready to go exploring.
Check and see if there's anything going on in here.
After 4 hours of searching, our equipment didn't pick up any strange reading.
But the experiences indicate that something really is going on. So we're going to keep coming back here, getting as much data as possible. That's the way we try to solve the mystery. So the hunt continues.
Wow. Did you ever see so many bats?
This is the world's largest bat colony. There are over 1 million bats living here at Carlsbad Caverns. When it gets light out, they need a hidden place to sleep. There's room for them all in this enormous cave. At night, they fly around in a circle to pick up enough speed to get out of the cave.
Hey, you! Get out of my way!
And for great adventures anytime, go PMK on the web. Come on my bat hunt! Then click Charlie Machine to catch some thrills with bad guys.
They're really gonna scare BMFKids.com.
Hello and welcome to Charlie's House of Deadly Delicacies. It looks appetizing, doesn't it? Please come in and join me. Join me!
Hello? Oh, hi, Charlie. I've got the stuff.
This is Mark. You scared me, Mark. He's here to help us today make this gruesome wobbly mask of his face that we can actually eat.
First, we have to make a mask of Mark's face. Now, I've cut a hole in a piece of cardboard that will frame around his face and set in front of his ears. Now, this is just like greasing a pan when you're making a cake. The greasy butter will help the finished mold slip off easier. Now, these straws will allow Mark to breathe while I cover his face with goop. Now, I mix some alginate with some water. Dentists use it, so I bought mine at a dentist supply store. Now we apply the alginate to the face.
And you don't move. Be like a statue. No talking, twitching, coughing, smiling, smirking, sneezing, scratching.
And most importantly,
no nose picking.
Since the alginate mold itself is pretty rubbery, I use plaster of Paris bandages to make the mold a little more solid. It's already starting to harden. And I have a few minutes until it sets completely. I'll love to show you my spine-chilling, hair-raising, ghastly, disgusting, and all-around nasty buffet. First, my favorite, guts and veins. Ooh, it kind of grows on you, don't you think? Or should I say it kind of grows in you? This is simply long strands of macaroni dyed with food coloring. Ooh, here we have eyeballs. Ooh, eyeballs. Which is simply nothing more than bocconcini cheese with a little food coloring. And here is a real crowd pleaser. Fingers! Ooh, ooh, an extra finger. Just simply nothing more than carrots. Okay, it's good and hard. It's ready. Here we go. Et voila. It's more. Next, I whip up my favorite flavor of gelatin. And to make it really firm, I use 4 boxes of gelatin powder instead of 1 in the regular amount of liquid. And we've used red gelatin mixed with a little skim milk. Looks more like flesh. And to make sure we don't have any leaks, we've lined the mold with plastic wrap. Now just pour it in. Oh, it's your turn. Well, you don't want to put that goop on my face, do you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Put the molds in the fridge and wait until they set.
Oh, Mark, it seems our guests have arrived.
Come in, come in.
Welcome, please do come in. Thank you so much for joining us. I know this all looks very tasty, but wait until you see what we have prepared for the main course.
It's okay. It's our granddad's pickled head. It kind of looks like us, wouldn't you say?
Okay, guys, dig in!
Charlie's grandfather's good.
What would happen if a tarantula bit you?
Would you turn into a superhero with spider strength? Spider intuition? And super adhesive spider powers?
Nope, not at all. Instead, you'd be in pain and probably in bed for because tarantulas are poisonous. So why would the man living there take that chance and keep more than 1,000 of them in his house? This is Brian Whiteley. He's a doctor and biochemist.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey.
I have over 50 species of tarantulas in my house. And this is Theraphosa blandi from South America. It's one of the world's largest.
It's huge!
In fact, each of the species has a little different venom, and I specialize in extracting the venom for companies that make medicine.
Brian does what's called milking the tarantula. But he's not getting milk. He's getting poison. Spiders use their poison, it's also called venom, to kill their prey. They inject the venom through their fangs. But what's bad for a tarantula's lunch might be good for people. The venom could contain ingredients that can be used to make medicine. This little hairy guy may help us find a cure for epilepsy and other similar diseases.
Unlike black widows, brown recluse, or other deadly spiders, tarantulas can't kill you, but you wouldn't want to be bitten by that. That's why you have to be very careful when you handle them. Here, Tyler, why don't you give it a try?
Okay, so I have to make it breathe carbon dioxide first, right?
Right. That'll make it groggy and lose muscle control.
Okay, here we go. Sweet dreams. There we go.
That's right. By holding it between the middle legs like that, you immobilize it so it can't get away. Okay, now you want to hook the fangs over the edge of the tube.
This is the dangerous part of milking, and you need to use forceps to manipulate the fangs into the right position.
Hit the foot switch after you get the electrodes in position.
To extract the venom, you have to use electricity, but not much. 30 volts only, just enough to cause the muscles surrounding the venom glands to contract. So does this hurt the tarantula?
You know, I've done this hundreds of times with no bad effects at all on the spider.
It
takes about 1,000 milkings to get a teaspoon of venom. That's why tarantula venom is so expensive. About $10,000 per teaspoon.
Great job, Tyler.
Thanks. Oh, there's something I meant to ask you. Seeing as you have thousands of spiders around you, does your company have its own website?
Well, as a matter of fact, it does. But, you know, I don't just work with tarantulas. I have lots of scorpions and centipedes, too. Come on, let me show you.
I thought it was funny.
Here, I'll show you one of my centipedes. Though it's never been done before, I'm trying to develop a way to extract venom from them, although it's not easy because they're so aggressive.
Is that an earthquake?
Probably.
What happened?
I think we've got a problem. Relax, Tyler, but don't move. I'll take care of it. Just don't move. Relax, Tyler, but don't move.
Well, that's all the time we have for today on PMK.
I, for one, am going to be happy to get out of this place.
Oh, come on, you and I both know that this place isn't really haunted.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Ah!